Multi-Choice Africa Group is expected to list on the JSE under the broadcasting and entertainment sector at the end of this month. Naspers made the announcement last month that it's unbundling Multi-Choice out of the Naspers stable, saying that the business was not considered core to its global internet business and that it was ready to stand on its own and flourish on the African continent. Naspers shareholders will get shares in Multi-Choice, while Naspers will fully divest of its interest in the video entertainment group. To break down what we can expect in relation to the listing and beyond, I'm joined on the line by Jean-Pierre Fester. He's portfolio manager at Fairtree Capital. Jean-Pierre, so current Naspers shareholders will get the Multi-Choice shares. How are the shares going to be distributed?
Hi, so it will be an unbundling, meaning that Naspers shareholders don't need to do anything. They will automatically get the shares on 27 February when the Multi-Choice group shares are listed separately in a ratio of 1-for-1. So for any one Naspers share that a shareholder previously held, they will on the 27th of February hold both one Naspers share as well as one Multi-Choice group share. And of course, those that aren't currently Naspers shareholders will have the choice to buy Multi-Choice group shares on the open market from the 27th of Feb.
Right. So why do you think Naspers chose to fully divest of the MCG interest and not keep their metaphorical toe dipped in there, maybe to the tune of about 5 to 10% of the company?
Yes, it's an important stat that you quote. So because Multi-Choice group represents roughly 5% of the value of Naspers, it is relatively small. Historically, it has been a very important cash contributor to Naspers, and the cash that Multi-Choice generated allowed them to invest in a lot of internet businesses. And because more of the focus of Naspers has been on the internet assets, not only Tencent, which is the best-known internet asset of Naspers, but also the OLX Group, Avito, which is a Russian e-commerce business that they bought a greater share of recently. So for a lot of investors, they don't like complexity, they like simplicity. And Naspers management have taken a lot of steps to simplify the structure of Naspers portfolio, sell off or unbundle businesses that did not have to do with the core internet businesses, and through that, try to address the valuation gap, the discount at which Naspers trades relative to its sum of the parts.
Now, Multi-Choice's value proposition seems to be to develop great content for the continent. What markets do you think will be ripe for that? And as far as you're aware, have they begun that process in earnest?
Well, by far and away, the largest market for the Multi-Choice group is South Africa, and that generates the bulk of the profits. In the last 2 to 3 years, the operations in places like Angola, Ghana, and Nigeria and Kenya have been under enormous pressure, especially in a place like Nigeria with the fall of the oil price and therefore the weakness of the Naira. So the African operations have made losses in the last 2 years, and therefore the growth of the total profitability of the Multi-Choice group going forward will be in the recovery of the African operations. And yes, content will be an important part of that journey, especially as Multi-Choice also increasingly will compete against content providers that stream content like Netflix in South Africa. Although at this stage, one must also say that the cost of broadband and the lack of true fast broadband also inhibits a competitor like Netflix to maybe pose too big a challenge to Multi-Choice.
Oh, that's a good point. So MCG says that pay TV and connected video remain underpenetrated on the continent compared to many other markets in the world. And MCG intends to pursue both these avenues of growth. Do you think they'll be able to capitalize on this? And I guess to some degree, you've just mentioned some of the constraints we have around digital connectivity.
Yes, another constraint has been, as these currencies have effectively blown out or weakened a lot over the last 2 to 3 years, is affordability. Because the content that Multi-Choice buys, they buy in US dollars or British pounds, if you think, for instance, of football content of the Premier League. So it would need a stabilization of African currencies to allow better affordability for the middle to upper class African consumer to afford pay television, and that is the addressable market that, if we do get a stabilization in currencies, is a large market that is underpenetrated and that Multi-Choice can try to get a bigger stake in.
Do you think Multi-Choice will ultimately merge with Showmax simply because it's striving to do exactly what Showmax does already, perhaps, but only more on a pan-African basis?
Well, at the moment, effectively, they own Showmax, so they are competing with themselves, trying to be a competitor to their more established business, and that is the right way to do things. When you have an external competitor like Netflix, one would say that the best way to address that is to start competing with yourself and disrupt yourself. So yes. I quite like the fact that instead of trying to defend against Netflix with only satellite-based television, they launched Showmax to compete directly, not against Netflix only, but also against themselves.
Mm.
So whether you call it a merger, I think we'll just see a shift of more of the users using Showmax rather than the traditional satellite business. And who knows, there might be a merger of the brand, but it's an important part of the multi-choice strategy, yes.
Yeah. So in the South African context specifically, we know we're going to be getting more spectrum and data prices are coming down. It is becoming, you know, it's getting a little bit more affordable for people to become connected. But as that happens, obviously players like Netflix will also have that advantage. Netflix has, you know, massive firepower financially, and it like garners about millions and millions of people per quarter in terms of the number of subscribers it gets. So how is MultiChoice going to be able to compete with that?
That is a key question, especially also because one's Netflix subscription is roughly 20% of a DStv premium subscription. So there's a large gap that Netflix can effectively attack because of that affordability gap. One of the important tools will be content. So it will need to be original content that MultiChoice needs to use to compete against Netflix. We've seen the St. Agnes a local drama series that launched in the last week. It's going to be interesting to see if that gets a lot of attention. Sport is another part of the content battle, with MultiChoice having sport as content and Netflix not having that.
Yes.
But when you charge 4 to 5 times the price, you really need to have content that people are willing to pay for. So it's going to be an interesting battle ahead, that's for sure.
So tell me, Jean-Pierre, I know you're a very astute investor and no doubt have shares in Naspers. So are you going to be holding the MultiChoice shares or not?
Yes, it all depends on the price that the MultiChoice shares trade on the first day. I've done my own calculations, and I think MultiChoice is worth roughly 50 to 70 billion rand, or to put it on a per share basis,
yes,
between 125 and 175 rand per share. So if the MultiChoice shares trade at below 125 rand per share, I'll probably buy more. And if they trade above 175 rand per share, I'll probably sell the MultiChoice shares I get, and I'll sit pat if they trade within the range I mentioned.
That was Jean-Pierre Fester. He's a portfolio manager at Fairtree Capital.